penal worlds, planets that are, in every sense, hell. In the vast Imperium of Man, there is no shortage of horrors, but even in a galaxy teeming with war and demons, there are mundane hells of our own making. I speak of the penal worlds, entire planets given over to misery and punishment. Imagine a world where every inhabitant is a criminal or a captive, a forsaken soul the Imperium has cast out, a world that exists solely as a dumping ground for those deemed unworthy of mercy or too troublesome to execute outright. I have seen these places with my own eyes, and I tell you, whatever nightmares you think mankind is capable of, a penal world contains them all, concentrated and unrelenting. Officially, a penal world is exactly what it sounds like, an entire planet repurposed into a prison. By edict and by administratum classification, these worlds are set aside to house the Imperium's criminals, heretics, and undesirables. Where most planets are defined by their ecosystem or industry, agri-worlds feeding the hungry masses, forge-worlds churning out weapons. A penal world is defined by its purpose, punishment. Its population consists of inmates and their jailers, nothing more. On these forsaken globes live the murderers, thieves, rebels, and every other dreg of human society scraped from hundreds of different worlds. And there too are the wardens and armed guards who stand watch over them, along with the occasional unfortunate soul who had the misfortune to be born there and will likely die behind the same bars as their parents. The Imperium of Man spans a million worlds, and with such scale comes an endless supply of crime and treachery. Not even the iron fist of the Adeptus Arbites and the threat of execution can prevent countless acts of disobedience and heresy. Hive cities breed gangs and petty criminals by the billion. Frontier colonies produce bandits and rebels. Even the Imperial Guard and Navy contain their deserters and cowards. The Imperial answer to this inevitable human sin is as brutal as it is straightforward. Remove the offenders entirely. Pack them onto a freight transport, carry them across the stars, and dump them on a distant, barren planet from which there is no escape. A whole world turned into a jail cell out of sight, out of mind. Better to let the scum, as many in authority call them, toil and die far away than to allow their presence to taint the teeming masses of the Emperor's loyal subjects. Most penal worlds have little value except as cages. They tend to be inhospitable, marginal planets, places with toxic air, barren soil, extreme climates, or hostile wildlife. In other words, worlds no one else wants. The Imperium takes these useless rocks and concertina wires them from pole to pole, turning them into dumping grounds for human refuse. If a planet happens to have some meager resources, all the better. The prisoners can be worked to death extracting promethium, ores, or crystal for the Imperium's war machine while they serve their sentences. But, by and large, these worlds are chosen for isolation and harshness. The environment itself often becomes an additional guard, as deadly as any plasma turret. A penal colony on a death world teeming with carnivorous jungles or corrosive oceans serves a double purpose. Even if an inmate slips past the fences, the planet will finish the job. It's escape-proof by design. Of course, not all penal worlds rely on nature to punish. Some are intentionally crafted hellholes. Picture a fortress labor complex that spans continents. Jagged spires of hab blocks converted into cell stacks, old manufacturum facilities retrofitted into slave factories, and tunnels webbed with surveillance auspex and auto turrets. Every inch of such a planet is monitored and fortified. The prisoners wake to blaring klaxons and spend their days under the gun. Literally. Marching in chain gangs to the mines or assembling munitions under the gaze of skull-faced servitor wardens. Entire cities on these worlds are nothing but giant prisons, layer upon layer of razor wire and plasteel bulkheads. Some were once ordinary hive cities before being condemned. Now the hive's only purpose is to house the damned. Other penal complexes are built from scratch in remote wastelands, dark fortress cathedrals of punishment rising out of toxic dust. These places exemplify the Imperium's mastery of cruelty, purpose-built cities of suffering, where an unlucky citizen might be shipped to vanish forever in the crowd of the condemned. Then there are the mining colonies, penal worlds whose primary purpose is exploitation of resources. These can be deceptively mundane in description, but are no less nightmarish in practice. On a mining penal world, thousands of prisoners are driven into the depths of the earth every day, digging for whatever valuable minerals the planet holds. They hack away in sweltering darkness, choking on dust and fumes, half-starved and desperate. Cave-ins are frequent, safety measures non-existent. After all, the workers are considered expendable. If a few hundred inmates are crushed or poisoned deep underground, the overseers simply mark some names off the ledger and shove the next batch of convicts into the tunnels. The output must flow, and if the prisoners won't dig fast enough, shock prods and whips at their backs provide ample encouragement. Some penal worlds don't even bother with the pretense of industry or structured incarceration. In the most isolated corners of the galaxy, there are prison planets that function as pure dumping grounds. Places so remote or so worthless that the Imperium doesn't even station a full garrison there. Instead, prison ships arrive above the atmosphere, crammed with human cargo deemed too dangerous or inconvenient to keep anywhere else. I've heard accounts of these transports coming in, jettisoning drop pods full of prisoners to rain down on the surface, and then boosting right back into warp without ever landing. One-way trips, no return. The convicts crawl out of their impact pods into some alien wasteland, unshackled and free in the most hollow sense of the word. There are no walls around them but the void itself, no guards except the monsters stalking the hills or the poison in the air. On some such worlds, the Administratum might maintain a single fortress outpost to periodically check in, perhaps to round up a contingent of the strongest survivors every few decades for military service. But on others, the prisoners are simply left to form their own feral communities, tribes of the damned, eking out a brutish existence from the scraps that fell with them. They are free from their cells, yes, but they remain prisoners of the planet, forgotten by the Imperium, left to starve or slaughter each other under a strange sun. If you're wondering how a person actually ends up on one of these hell planets, consider the journey of a typical convict. Perhaps on some teeming hive world, a man is found guilty of a crime. It could be anything from petty theft to political sedition. The Arbites pronounce sentence, penal servitude. From that moment, his life effectively ends and a new nightmare begins. He's likely thrown into a cramped holding cell with dozens of others, all awaiting transport. When the quota is met, they're loaded like cargo into a void ship's penitentiary hold. I have seen one of these transport vessels up close, a ponderous bulk freighter refitted to ferry human misery. Its cells were stacked floor to ceiling, thousands of prisoners shackled to hard metal benches in the dark for weeks or months of warp travel. There's no privacy, barely any food or water. Disease runs rampant in the stale, recycled air, and the guards rarely intervene unless it threatens the whole ship. Many prisoners don't survive the trip. Perhaps that's considered an efficient culling of the weak before they even arrive. For those that do live to see their destination, the first welcome is often a swift dose of terror. When the ship opens its shuttle bays and disgorges its human cargo onto the penal world, the newcomers are met by armed guards in full carapace armor, barking orders. Sometimes a recorded message blares across the landing yard, something along the lines of, "Welcome to your new home. You are here because you failed the Emperor. Redemption begins through suffering. Any who stumble or hesitate are greeted with a shock baton or the crack of a las gun fired overhead to get them moving. The stench of fear and sweat is palpable as the line of new convicts shuffles forward into processing. Processing is a cold, mechanical routine. Each prisoner is stripped of whatever rags or belongings remain to them. Ident codes are stamped or tattooed onto their flesh. A barcode on the neck or forehead is common, an indelible mark of their status. In some sectors, they even implant a cortical chip or a subdermal tracker, though such tech is a luxury often reserved for particularly dangerous inmates. Heads are shaved, bodies searched for contraband or hidden weapons. The intake officers, sometimes just other convicts pressed into service, record the prisoner's serial number, crime, and sentence. Though on a true penal world, the sentence is usually for life, explicit or not. One thing becomes immediately clear to every newcomer. Whatever you were before no longer matters. A petty thief from one planet may be shoved into the same work gang as a mass murderer from another. A failed hab worker who stole to feed his children can find himself locked in a cell next to a heretical cultist who butchered dozens in a blood ritual. There is usually no segregation by morality or severity here. The administratum might separate the absolute worst. Those with mutations or obvious chaos taint may be quietly executed or isolated to prevent contaminating others. But for the majority, it's one big sump of humanity. This creates a melting pot of vice and violence. The strong and cruel quickly prey on the weak. Within hours of arrival, a new inmate learns that survival will depend on discarding any gentleness or conscience he has left. After processing, they are assigned to their barracks or work crews. These aren't gentle assignments. Perhaps you get a number painted on a bunk in a packed dormitory, or you're chained to a line of others and sent straight into the mines. On some worlds, the wardens have a cruel tradition of breaking in newcomers with a particularly dangerous or grueling task, clearing a collapse in a tunnel, moving a giant load of materials across a scorching salt flat, something likely to injure or kill a good fraction of the fresh arrivals. Those who make it through are considered officially inducted into the colony's population. The rest are written off as unfit, their bodies tossed into mass graves before their sweat has even dried. Life on a penal world settles into a grim routine. Every day is strictly regimented, designed to grind the inmates down. They are woken before what passes for dawn, assuming the planet even has a normal day-night cycle, by sirens or the blunt clang of a baton on an iron door. They line up for a headcount, bleary eyes on the ground, because making eye contact with a guard can be seen as defiance and punished on the spot. Breakfast might be a bowl of flavorless protein gruel or corpse starch, fortified just enough to keep a body from collapsing. It's often deliberately laced with sedatives or chems to stunt muscle growth. Yes, the Imperium even adulterates the food to keep prisoners docile and weak. No one is getting strong or spry off these rations. Hope of that fades fast when you can count your ribs through your prison garb and your hands won't stop trembling from chronic malnutrition. After that meager meal, it's labor from morning until night. The specific work varies world to world. On some, it's back-breaking toil outdoors, dredging toxic ash in a ruined city, breaking rocks in a quarry under a blistering sun, or trudging through sucking mud to lay down new razor wire around the ever-expanding perimeter. On mining worlds, it means descending into the shafts at first light and not seeing the sky again until you're half-blind from a 14-hour shift in darkness. In a fortress factory world, it could be endless assembly lines, piecework on ammunition, or the disassembly of rusted warheads under the supervision of Taskmaster tech priests. Whatever the labor, It is intentionally brutal and ceaseless. The Imperium wants every iota of strength wrung out of these convicts, either in service or simply to exhaust them so thoroughly that they have no energy left to rebel when the day is done. During work details, the prisoners are watched relentlessly. Gun towers loom over every yard, servo skulls with picked cameras float through the halls, and armed guards with attack dogs patrol the perimeters. Many guards wear rebreathers and sealed helmets, partly for the planet's noxious environment, partly to remind the inmates that the authorities are faceless, inhuman enforcers of the Emperor's law. A prisoner might go years without seeing an unmasked guard or hearing one speak in a normal tone. Commands are barked, orders screamed, and weapons discharged. That is the language of authority on a penal world. Any disobedience or slackening is met with immediate violence. A man collapses from exhaustion. His overseer might execute him on the spot as an example to the others, or perhaps drag him out and administer 20 lashes with a neuronic whip, stripping flesh from bone. The other prisoners will be forced to watch, reminded of the price of weakness. In some camps, punishments are made into small spectacles, the warden's way of instilling terror. I once witnessed a thief on a prison world caught stealing extra rations. The guards hauled him in front of his whole work crew and shoved his arm into an ore crusher, the sickening crunch of his hand being pulped, and his screams sent a clear message to everyone. There are no second chances here! After the work shift, if one can still stand, the inmates are herded back to their barracks or cells. Dinner might be the same bland gruel as the morning, or a thin soup that barely warms the belly. Sanitation is minimal, a bucket to slop out, a communal trough of brackish water to wash in. Disease is rampant, intestinal sickness from tainted food, lung ailments from inhaling industrial poisons, infections from untreated wounds. Medical treatment is virtually non-existent. Perhaps if an epidemic threatens the entire camp, the overseers will distribute a purge serum or cull the sick, but otherwise the ill are left to fend for themselves. Many die quietly in the night, their bunkmates waking to a corpse that's stiff and cold. The guards will drag the dead out with as much ceremony as one takes out the garbage. Lights out is usually early. Prisoners are packed into locked dormitories or rusted cells, dozens of bodies crammed where only a handful should sleep, or sometimes stacked in coffin-like bunks in a lightless hold. And there, in the darkness, the real nightmares can unfold. Guards make sporadic night rounds, but they often don't care what inmates do to each other in the shadows, as long as it doesn't threaten the facility. Beatings, thefts, even murders happen often after lights out. Scores are settled with makeshift shivs, the strong or crazed prey on the weak and timid in unspeakable ways. Come dawn, the bodies or broken figures are found, and life simply goes on. To the wardens, it's just fewer troublemakers to manage. To the inmates, it's simply the way of things. Another day in hell, where mercy and justice are just fairy tales from another life. For most inmates, the only escape from a penal world is death. But there is another grim avenue that sometimes opens. Conscription into a penal legion of the Astra Militarum, the Imperial Guard. When the Imperium is in dire need of bodies at the front, even its prisoners can be of use. It often goes like this. A crusade or major war is grinding through soldiers at a horrific rate. The Departamento Munitorum relays a request for reinforcements to all available sources. One day, that request reaches a penal colony. The warden gathers a batch of prisoners, usually the young and able-bodied, or frankly anyone still breathing who can hold a las gun, and offers them a deal of sorts. Serve in an Imperial Guard penal unit, and you might earn a measure of redemption or at least a change of scenery. Refuse, and you can rot here until you die. It's hardly a choice at all. Some prisoners all but leap at the chance. After years in the dark, the idea of getting off-world, of holding a weapon again, even the slim prospect of freedom if they somehow distinguish themselves, it ignites a spark of hope or at least desperation. Others are more wary, knowing that being sent to a penal battalion is just a different kind of death sentence. There are tales of condemned men who outright refused the offer, choosing a swift execution by firing squad over what they saw as a prolonged agony in uniform. But those are the minority. Most cling to life, however faint the promise. Once recruited, or coerced, the new penal legionnaires are shipped off from the prison planet to a war zone. They swap one hell for another. The guard commanders do not trust these convicts. Why would they? So extreme measures are taken to ensure obedience. Each penal legion is overseen by fierce disciplinarians, often led by a commissar or a particularly unforgiving colonel with a cadre of loyal enforcers. The conscripts may be fitted with explosive collars around their necks, devices set to detonate if they stray from their post or try to remove them. It only takes one gruesome demonstration of those collars in action, a would-be deserter's head blown clean off his shoulders, to keep the rest in line like dogs on an invisible leash. Other units employ injectable control drugs, combat stimulants, and psychoconditioning. Before battle, a medical servitor will jab each soldier with a dose of Frenzin or some similar cocktail that floods the bloodstream. In moments, the convict's fear is transmuted into a kind of frenzied aggression. Under such influence, they'll charge fortified guns or alien monstrosities with equal madness, feeling neither pain nor terror. Of course, when the drugs wear off, those who survive often collapse or go into seizures from withdrawal. But by then, the fight is usually over, one way or another. Brutal discipline is another staple of penal units. The Imperial Guard has an old practice called decimation. If a unit falters or retreats without orders, one in every 10 men is executed as a lesson to the rest. In a penal legion, decimation is almost routine. These convict soldiers are told in no uncertain terms that cowardice will be repaid in blood. It's not an idle threat. I've heard of whole companies lined up after a battle and forced to watch as commissars methodically shot every 10th man for showing the slightest hint of hesitation in the assault. Imagine surviving a suicidal mission only to be executed by your own side afterward because you didn't die charging fast enough. That is the kind of fate penal troops endure. Unsurprisingly, the missions given to penal legions are the ones no one else wants. They are thrown into the meat grinder, frontal assaults on fortress walls, rear guard actions where survival is impossible, diversionary attacks meant to draw enemy fire. Whenever a task is so bloody and hopeless that no sane commander would waste his elite troops on it, the call goes out for the expendable assets. The convicts go first, absorbing the enemy's fire and fury. If, by some miracle, they overrun the objective, well and good. If not, they die to the last, and the regular units behind them move in over their corpses. High command tallies a victory either way. There have even been instances where penal units played key roles in famous campaigns. During the Third War for Armageddon, for example, several regiments of convicts were raised from the toxic prison planet of Savlar to fight against an orc invasion. These troops were promised an unusual reward. They could keep any loot or plunder they took from the enemy. This perverse incentive, combined with liberal use of combat drugs, turned the Savlar chemdogs into ferocious fighters. They excelled in the vicious close-quarters battles of Armageddon's underhives, where their disregard for discipline and their scavenger instincts actually proved useful. By all accounts, they fought like madmen, and many died. But they bought the Imperium precious time and space in the war. True to the bargain, those chem dogs who survived were allowed to keep their scavenged valuables. Some even strutted in stolen finery after the fighting, a twisted echo of victory. But make no mistake, they were not pardoned for their service. Once the campaign ended, the Savlar regiments remained under armed watch. Many were simply shipped off to the next war zone, still under the yoke of the Penal Legion, despite their valor. Even on the rare occasion when a penal unit is lauded for bravery, the Imperium does not truly forgive or forget their past. At best, it temporarily tolerates them as long as they continue to be useful. I remember an old veteran sergeant, not a convict himself, but a regular guardsman, who told me about fighting alongside a penal battalion during a siege. He said watching those wretches being driven forward was like witnessing the damned climb out of the abyss. They had explosive collars clamped to their necks, and as they ran toward the enemy fortifications, a few men faltered, perhaps trying to flee or just freezing up. The overseers immediately detonated several collars. Boom, boom. 6 or 7 headless bodies hit the mud in an instant, and the rest of the prisoners got the message. They surged ahead, screaming not so much out of valor, but out of animal terror and adrenaline, some of them pumped full of narcotics that made them oblivious to pain. The enemy, human rebels in that case, was so stunned by the ferocity of the charge that their first line crumpled. The penal troopers fell upon them with a fury. I'm told one convict was literally tearing at the enemy with his teeth after his gun jammed, and they actually overran the outer trench works by sheer madness. Of course, moments later, the heavier defenses opened up. Machine gun fire scathed through the convicts, mines blew limbs and torsos apart, and what had been 100 charging men became a red mist and scattered giblets in the span of a minute. Not a one of them lived to see the end of that battle, but their insane attack soaked up the munitions and broke the prepared lines. The regular guard units following behind were able to storm in and secure a costly victory. When the smoke cleared, there were no medals for the penal battalion, nothing beyond perhaps a footnote in the commander's report, praising the exemplary zeal of these disposable heroes. Such is the only glory a penal legionnaire can expect. And yet, incredibly, some do survive more than one engagement. By luck, by cunning, or outright savagery, a handful of penal soldiers might live through battle after battle. These individuals become something extraordinary, in a dark way hardened killers who have faced death so many times that it loses all meaning for them. I've met a few of these rare souls. Their eyes were dead and shark-like, their faces a patchwork of scars. They walked with the calm of men already condemned, which in truth they were. These survivors could stride through a bombardment without flinching. At that point, they were effectively dead men walking, and they knew it, which made them utterly fearless. The Imperium sometimes finds further uses for such men and women. Every so often, an Inquisitor will pass through the battle lines, surveying the regiments for any asset that might be of use to his holy office. A penal legionnaire who has proven both lethal and doggedly, perhaps even fanatically, determined might catch the Inquisitor's eye. If recruited, that convict is whisked away from the front and into the shadows to serve in some covert kill team or inquisitorial retinue, where their particular talents can be directed against the enemies of the throne. It's a dangerous life, likely even more dangerous than the battlefield in some respects, but it comes with a strange kind of freedom. Under an inquisitor's watch, a former prisoner might wear plain clothes or operate far from any caller's reach, even travel to worlds that aren't prison yards, all the while doing the most lethal, dirty work imaginable. Few last long in such service, of course, but it's one of the only ways a penal world inmate might truly leave their prison behind while still drawing breath. The Imperial propaganda about penal legions often speaks of redemption. Indeed, these units are sometimes euphemistically called redemption battalions, or given nicknames like last chancers. The idea sold to the convicts is that through great sacrifice in battle, they can earn the Emperor's forgiveness, perhaps even a pardon and a chance at a normal life again if they perform heroically enough. In theory, a soldier who miraculously survives a set number of missions or achieves some critical objective might be granted freedom. In practice, this is exceedingly rare. I have never personally shaken the hand of a freed penal legionnaire enjoying his retirement. Most die long before any such reward can be contemplated, and those who don't are too valuable or too dangerous to simply release. More often, pardon comes in the form of a bolt round to the skull once their usefulness has run out. It's cynical, but it's true. The promise of a second chance is largely a cruel illusion, a way to spur the condemned into sacrificing themselves willingly. One infamous example illustrates this cruel bargain. There was a penal regiment, legend calls it the 13th Penal Legion, though records are scarce, that earned the moniker Last Chancers. Its commander was said to personally select the worst, most desperate criminals from dozens of prisons, forging a unit expressly for suicide missions. He promised them a full pardon if they completed each impossible task he set for them. Sounds almost noble, doesn't it? Give the worst of the worst one last chance to earn redemption. But this colonel's reputation was so terrifying and his missions so deadly that many inmates reportedly begged for execution rather than accept his offer. Those who did volunteer became his last chancers. They went on missions deep behind enemy lines, the kind of operations no sane general would even publicly admit were underway. Acts of sabotage, assassination, high-risk infiltration. Unsurprisingly, nearly all perished. Perhaps one or two out of each mission group survived to be folded into the next operation. Did any ever truly earn their freedom? One story claims a single man did, pardoned after years of suffering, only to reoffend and wind up back in the very same penal legion. Whether that tale is apocryphal or not, it speaks to the heart of the matter. For these souls, there really is no escape. The Emperor's mercy is given out just enough to tempt, but rarely enough to actually deliver anyone from damnation. To stiffen the resolve of such troops, the Imperium also employs faith as a cudgel. In many penal legions, you'll find a priest of the ecclesiarchy, often a canticle-singing confessor, or a zealous friar, known by the title Precentor of Penance. These fanatical clergy move among the ranks of the damned, swinging incense burners and howling prayers of absolution. They promise the prisoners that though their lives are forfeit, their souls can still be saved. "It is with your toil and your blood that you shall be redeemed," they cry. "The blood you spill, both the enemy's and your own, shall wash away your sins." In the moments before a hopeless charge, such preachers can work the convicts into a kind of fervor. Faced with imminent death, a man will grasp at anything to give that death meaning. And so the prisoners roar hymns and praise the Emperor's name, some sincerely, others out of desperate fear. And they run headlong into the jaws of hell, believing, or trying to believe, that their sacrifice will earn them a place at the Emperor's side. It is a grotesque parody of the noble martyrdoms you hear about in Imperial propaganda. But if it drives them forward, the commissars are satisfied. The Emperor, perhaps, receives their souls. The Imperium certainly receives the benefit of their dying efforts. That arrangement is as close to redemption as most will ever get. It's worth reflecting on the kinds of transgressions that can land a person on a penal world, because contrary to what one might expect, it isn't reserved only for the monstrous and depraved. Certainly, the worst of humanity end up there. Mass murderers whose crimes didn't merit the quick release of execution, heretical cultists who were captured alive rather than simply purged, traitorous PDF officers from failed insurrections recidivist mutants or witches who weren't immediately destroyed, all find their way into the Imperium's cosmic gulags. But alongside them are countless others whose crimes might seem pitifully small compared to their punishment. I met a man who was sent to a penal mine for 10 years because he falsified some administratum ledger to hide a shortfall in his factorum's output. On his world, that was deemed fraud against the imperial tithe. A serious offense, yes, but one that on many civilized planets might warrant a few years in a local lockup or a public lashing. His planetary governor, however, decided to make an example of him and had him shipped off-world as a criminal. He arrived on that penal mining colony and discovered his cellmate was a former PDF colonel who had refused an order to gun down unarmed protesters during a riot. The colonel was branded a mutineer and sent to the same hellish pit. Two vastly different men, two vastly different crimes, now both just prisoner toiling side by side in misery. In the Imperium, the threshold for being condemned can be terrifyingly low. Steal from the wrong person, speak out of turn about a corrupt official, fail to meet a production quota, worship the Emperor in a slightly unorthodox way. Any of these can paint a target on your back. The Adeptus Arbites enforce a harsh law. They would rather punish 100 mildly guilty souls than risk one truly guilty heretic slipping through. If that means a sweep of minor riffraff gets scooped up with the real instigators, so be it. A pickpocket in a hive market might get lumped into a mass justice action rounding up petty criminals, and before he knows it, he's packed into a freight hold bound for some distant penal camp. A scribe who complained in a publicum hab about corruption in the administratum could be denounced by his superiors as seditious. Suddenly, he's branded a political criminal and shackled for the next prison barge. Entire communities can be condemned en masse. I've heard of a case where an imperial commander, frustrated by a sector's rebellion, decreed that an entire village would be taken to the penal colonies as punishment for not informing on nearby rebels. Hundreds of completely innocent people were removed in chains, simply to terrorize other populations into compliance. In another instance, a rebellious hive city was brought to heel only after the Arbitus sentenced every 10th citizen to penal servitude by lottery. Imagine that. You could be utterly loyal and law-abiding, yet still have the lot fall upon you to be exiled to a nightmare world, just so your planet's governor could make an example of disobedience. The crimes that earn a penal sentence range from the grotesque to the absurd. Yes. Serial killers, slavers, blasphemers, and the like are common in the prison population. But you'll also find those guilty of minor smuggling, unsanctioned trading, or speaking out of turn. I once spoke to a woman who'd been a low-level administratum clerk. She was sent to a penal colony because a noble she worked under was skimming funds, and he pinned the entire scandal on his staff when the auditors came. She and 20 others were declared criminally negligent and swept off to the prison ships. In another case, a whole family was transported because a distant cousin of theirs was exposed as a psyker. The local officials decided that the taint in the bloodline made them all untrustworthy. Off they went, parents and children alike, to spend the rest of their lives in a labor camp for a crime they didn't even understand. And then there are those poor fools who might actually be innocent of any wrongdoing at all. Maybe they just angered someone powerful, or got rounded up by mistake during an Arbites purge. It doesn't matter. Once the bureaucracy of imperial justice has condemned you, pleading your case is a lost cause. There's no lengthy appeals process, no higher court to review the evidence. There is only the next black ship in orbit, hungry for more human fuel. This indiscriminate approach serves a purpose beyond mere cruelty. The very existence of penal worlds is a warning to every imperial citizen. Obey, or you could be next. Fear is the mortar that holds the Imperium together, and nothing inspires fear quite like knowing that entire planets of the damned are out there, waiting for anyone who steps out of line. Ordinary workers toil their fingers to the bone and keep their mouths shut, remembering that a colleague who griped too loudly about conditions last year is now rumored to be serving time on some fiery prison moon. Imperial guardsmen on the brink of panic steel themselves and stand against the oncoming Xenos horde because they know the alternative. Being branded a coward and thrown into a penal legion is just a slower, uglier death. In that sense, penal worlds are as much a tool of social control as they are places of punishment. They are the Imperium's ultimate gulag, the final threat that looms behind all the more immediate punishments. "Behave," the Imperium whispers, "or we'll send you to the planets of hell." The existence of these worlds speaks volumes about the state of the Imperium. They are, in a way, a mirror held up to the Empire's soul, and the reflection is not a flattering one. An Imperium at its grandest heights, confident and just, might find little need to dump millions of its own citizens onto nightmare planets to maintain order. But the Imperium of the 41st millennium is far from any golden age. It is a civilization in decay, overextended, under siege, and rotting from within. In this state of perpetual crisis, the masters of mankind have long since concluded that cruelty is not a vice but a necessity. Penal worlds are a testament to that grim conclusion. They are born of a worldview that measures human life in terms of utility and loyalty alone. Those deemed useful but disloyal are worked to death. Those deemed loyal but no longer useful are thrown into battle to die. Those deemed neither loyal nor useful are simply left to rot. It's a harsh calculus, but it's the Imperium's way. On a strategic level, perhaps the High Lords and Lord Generals consider penal worlds efficient. After all, these hell planets turn the garbage of society into a resource-forced labor, cannon fodder, occasional propaganda victories. Why simply execute a heretic or a thief when you can squeeze a bit more work or a few more battles out of them first? The tragedy, of course, is that this attitude only perpetuates the cycle of misery. The Imperium creates hellish conditions for its people, which breed more crime, rebellion, and despair, which in turn fill more prison ships and more penal colonies. It's a self-devouring system, one that a healthier society might try to break. But the Imperium is not healthy, and it sees no alternative. It will double down on repression and call it righteousness, even as its margins crumble. Penal worlds also embody the futility at the heart of the Imperial regime. Think of it. Billions of humans spend their last days in these places, suffering and struggling. And for what? A few tons of ore? A slight delay in an enemy advance? In the grand scheme, almost none of these people will be remembered or even acknowledged. Their pain won't usher in any new era of peace or progress. It will just be another brick in the crumbling wall that barely holds the darkness at bay. The Imperium's unofficial motto might as well be, "Suffer now," because suffering is all there will ever be. On the prison planets, that is the law of existence. It's hard to imagine a more abject picture of hopelessness, yet the Imperium considers it normal, even necessary. There are cautionary lessons in these hell planets. To the average citizen, they warn, this is where disobedience leads. But on another level, they warn of something deeper, the slow death of the Imperium's own humanity. Every penal colony is a sign that the Empire of Man has had to sacrifice its compassion, its dignity, and any pretense of justice simply to continue existing in this cruel epoch. These worlds are the bones in the closet, the dirty secret held in plain view. Everyone knows about them, though few speak of them openly. And that fear keeps the wheels grinding. But one wonders, as more and more worlds fall to chaos, xenos, and internal decay, how long can fear and brutality alone prop up a regime stretched so thin? The Imperium's cold logic in such matters is already on display. For example, the penal world of St. Josmain's Hope in the Cadian sector was engulfed and obliterated during a chaos invasion, its entire population of prisoners and guards lost without so much as an attempted evacuation. The Imperium did not even try to save them. In the grand calculus of war, they were deemed as expendable as sandbags on a burning wall. In the end, the penal worlds might simply stand as tombstones marking the slow collapse of a once great human civilization, even as the Imperium insists on their necessity. I have walked the ashen yards of these planets that are hell, and I have heard the howls of the damned echo under skies of iron. I've seen the Imperial Aquila banner flying above compounds of barbed wire and agony, and I have felt a hollowness in my gut, realizing that this horror is man-made and deliberate. As an observer of this dark age, I cannot help but feel jaded to my very core, yet also mournful. Mournful that this is what we've come to. Redemption reduced to a mission one is not expected to survive. Justice meted out with shock batons and mass graves, hope strangled and replaced with ceaseless terror. Penal worlds are where hope dies. They are the graveyards of humanity's better aspirations. And yet they endure, as does the Imperium. Perhaps that is the final irony. The Imperium of Man, in all its vaunted glory, preserves itself by maintaining worlds that are literal hell for those unfortunate enough to be there. It defeats some of its enemies by methods as inhuman as any Xeno's. It claims to be the shield of humanity, even as it sacrifices a portion of humanity in the name of security. There is a bitter truth in the far future. In the grim darkness, there is only war. And for those who cannot uphold the weight of that endless war, there is only the slow damnation of a penal world. These planets that are hell are more than just prisons. They are symbols of everything the Imperium is willing to inflict on its own people to survive. So spare a thought, perhaps, for the forgotten souls on those forsaken worlds, though they will never know your pity, nor would their masters care. They will die anonymous, their ashes mixed into the poisoned winds of some nameless rock. But remember what their existence means. The next time someone extols the glory of the Imperium, let them remember the penal colonies, where that glory is built on the backs and bones of the damned. In those places, far from the parade grounds and gilded statues, the true face of Imperial rule is laid bare. It is not a noble eagle at all, but a death's head skull leering over a holocaust of its own making. Penal worlds, they truly are planets that are hell, each one a silent warning and a mournful epitaph for an empire that has forgotten the meaning of mercy. They remind us that sometimes the worst monsters are not alien beasts or demonic horrors, but our own institutions and the choices we make to cling to power. And as long as the Imperium endures, so too will the penal worlds, orbiting lonely under dying suns, filled with screams in the dark. A hell of our own design under the sign of the Aquila.